I'm Kathleen Holt, and I'm in Dodge City at with Don Weiss, formerly of Cimarron and currently of Dodge City, at Don's place of business. This is September 12, 2014, and Don, we'll just start off with you stating your full name and date of birth, and then you can take off.
Okay. My name is Donald Mervyn Weiss, is the way if you want the full name. That didn't sound very good.
Oh.
You want to start over?
No, you're good. You're good.
Donald Mervyn Weiss, and born December 2nd, 1929, working in Cimarron at Fisher's IGA at the time that I and a friend, Charles Hughes, decided to enlist in the Army. And on December the 26th, the day after Christmas, we left for Kansas City at 4 o'clock in the morning. We arrived there and to enlist in the Army, and we arrived there, and on December the 30th was the day we were sworn in.
Wow.
I went to Fort Riley, Kansas, for basic training and leadership training there, and then went on to Eastern, well,
let's see,
I don't know what they called it.
East. Was it like Basie?
The Far East Command.
Oh,
far,
wow,
far
I
east.
See.
And I was ordered to, or given orders to go to the Far East Command with duties to go to, on to Korea after going to Japan. I was given orders to go to Etajima Specialist School, which was a former Japanese Naval Academy in southern Japan. So after 12 or 15 days on ship, we arrived at Etajima, Japan. And the first sergeant told us that we wouldn't be able to get our PX cards, post-exchange cards, to get necessary supplies because the company clerk was sick. And I went against the rules I was told not to do, was never volunteer in the Army.
Oh.
But I spoke up and volunteered and said that I have, I know how to type, and if it'll get these guys their cards quicker, I'll be glad to type them. So I did, and the company sergeant and company commander took a liking to me, and while I was there attending this school, the Fort Etajima Specialist School, the Field Artillery Mechanic School, with orders thereafter that to go on to Korea. But I never served any KP or that because they liked me there and guard duty. But whenever I was needed, I went to the, in the office, they would have me work out there. While we were talking about it, the company clerk was going to be going back to the States in a few days, and they would like for me to do it, but they look, I was under federal orders to go on to Korea, so they couldn't just transfer me that way. So they finally figured out a way to work it out. They said if I got good enough grades in my class of field artillery mechanics, which I am not mechanically inclined at all, they would hold me out, and then at that time start the school instructing and then say, well, he can't make it at that. Then they would be able to override the federal orders and transfer me on base.
Oh.
So I was made the second in the class and was then held out as an instructor, and then they held me, then I transferred to the company clerk at that school.
Let me just jump in here and clarify then. This was on your way, first you were on your way to Korea, right?
Right.
And
so
then some way on the middle there, you went to, and spell Etajima.
E-T-A, I've got a deal up here, E-T-A, and then J-I-M-A, two words.
Okay.
Specialist school.
Okay, I thought that's what it sounded like. And then, so it was just kind of fate that you got sent that way?
Well, I feel that God had a plan in it, which I'll explain a little later on. I ended up being there, and I, after a short time, I'm not sure, a few months or a year, I'm probably off on that. But anyway, a time later, I was the company clerk was one that didn't do his job too good, and I was, as the clerk, was doing most of his work, and the officers on the camp knew about it, and so they they said they couldn't give me a promotion because the rank was frozen at that time, but I was selected as Soldier of the Month out of a camp there of several thousand students. And then a little later, because of this, the colonel that was in charge of the chemical, biological, and radiological school there selected me as a corporal to do a master sergeant's job. Because that rank was frozen at that time. So I went there and served there, in which there was three majors, and the colonel was over three majors, and then each department. I stayed there a while, and I was thinking about maybe staying in the Army, and one of the sergeants there said, you know, most of your service has been overseas. At this time, I'd been there 3 years, almost, no, 2.5 years. And so he said, you really ought to go back to the States before you make that decision. And so I did. But I served as chief clerk of the Chemical, Biological, and Radiological School. The colonel then was going back to the States just a few days before me. And so he put in my file a good letter of recommendation, and when I got back to the States, I was selected as Operation Sergeant G3 in Fort Carson, Colorado.
Oh.
While there, I didn't want to go to church right next to an Army base, so I drove down 45 miles south to Pueblo. There I went to church, and a couple kind of adopted me. Their son was away, and they made a home, said, anytime you're in town, come and stay at our house. So I went to showing how God was working in my life. Even then, I didn't realize it at that time until the year 2014, I realized that God was at work there. But at this church, there was the wife or the sister of my wife-to-be, who lived in Oklahoma at the time, was going to church there. And so she said, you ought to come to come out here to Colorado and meet this guy. He, soldiers going to our church. So we met, we fell in love, and until her death in this year, February of this year, we were married. We married October the 17th of that year, and would have been married nearly 60 years at the time of her death. To make a long story, getting back into this, I'm kind of mixed up, but
that's all right.
Getting back, the sister, Goldie Carneal was her name, mm-hmm. wrote my daughter, my wife to be.
What was your wife's name?
Her name is Carneal.
Carneal. That's a pretty name.
And she was married, and my wife to be was Jean Taylor. She lived in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
She came out to the camp, out to Colorado, and we met. And first sight, we knew we were for each other. And we married in just a few months later.
Did you have a military ceremony?
No, we had the ceremony was there at this church, and it was performed by my brother, who was a preacher.
Oh.
And he came from Missouri out there to perform the wedding. We had a quiet wedding. We had many of my friends from the Army that came to that service, but we just had the service and then had the wedding right after that.
Oh, wow.
And then we went on our honeymoon to, what's that place out there? Canyon City.
Oh, yeah.
There. A beautiful city in the mountains there. And came back. I was discharged then in December 15th, 1954.
Wow. So you were in about 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah, almost, yeah, a couple weeks less.
Wow.
Less than 2 weeks.
And did you tell me on the tape, let's see, you went, okay, tell me about what enlisting was like. How did you decide, and how did your parents feel about that? You were just out of high school, or you'd been?
No, I'd been out of high school.
So
see,
you were working.
I was, let's see, I was born 29. Let's see. I'd worked at Fisher's IJ for three or four years.
Okay.
There. Yeah, it's about 3 or 4 years. So mm-hmm. I was in my early 20s.
Uh-huh.
And
so you just decided,
I decided, I didn't want to go in the Navy because I didn't like water.
Uh-huh.
So,
that's smart.
So I chose the Army.
Uh-huh.
And I'm happy I did.
Yeah.
I had experiences that anyone else would never be able to have.
Yeah.
I don't regret my service to the country.
But what was it like taking off then, being a young man that had grown up and lived in a small western Kansas town, and then you find yourself, what was the first foreign port you went to?
Well, it was certainly different. I was challenged because my friends all said, when you go in the Army, you'll drink and you'll smoke. And I kept that thought, and I might add another thing, but when I was leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning to go overseas, the last thing my dad said to me then was, keep up your faith. Mm-hmm. And I had that in my mind all the time, that I was going to be faithful. While at the Edogema Specialist School, I taught, this is where I first started teaching my Sunday school class, and I've been teaching ever since, even to this day that I started. I have a letter from the chaplain about me, and I knew nothing about this letter from the chaplain until after my parents died, and it was given, they'd come to the Sunday school superintendent, and then it went back to, they gave it to my parents, but they never told me about it.
Oh.
And I treasure that more. That letter more than I did being chosen Soldier of the Month.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, did you learn to speak Japanese then?
Very little.
Yeah,
I could say "Ohayo gozaimasu," which meant "Good morning,"
mm-hmm.
and "Doka inga no," something. Where are you going? A few word phrases I could understand more than I could speak.
Mm-hmm.
But there in the cafes, they would have the, if you went into town to cafe, they would have the menu in English and Japanese.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember one kind of funny thing. I saw boiled eggs. So I ordered boiled eggs, thinking they'd be like we were hard boiled.
Uh-huh.
It looked like they had just dropped them in the hot water and took them right back out again.
Oh.
no semblance.
Not quite the same. What other kinds of things did you eat while you were in Japan?
Well, I like to eat fish, sea fish. I like scallops, and shrimp was my favorites when mm-hmm. I'd go out. And of course, I eat American food. We had a good mess hall there. I mean, they served good food, and then they had at the PX they had a luncheonette type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'd go over there occasionally and get something too. While I was there, I took pictures of the classes and had my pictures that I had taken sent back all over the United States.
Oh,
and, I taught the Sunday school class. I also played on the basketball team and was captain of our bowling team. The other people of the bowling team were all officers. I was the only enlisted man, and they made me captain, I think, just for an honor.
Yeah.
But we won in the basketball. Our company league was champion of that, and so we went on to the Far East thing, and we took second place in that.
Wow.
We were only allowed to take 7 players to, this was another island off of Japan there somewhere, and because we couldn't take all the instructors out of the class. And so I remember I was captain of the team there too, but we won the first game, or lost the first game by, we'd had three fouled out and we were playing with four players for the last half of the quarter. And I remember that I played all of the players except about 3 or 4 minutes of that game I played.
In goodness.
Bowling, I have some trophies there from bowling too. So
wow.
I was involved with a lot of different things, and that made the time pass.
Yes.
There was times when I would get homesick that I would think about, well, maybe I should volunteer to go on to Korea now, so I'd get to come home quicker.
Oh.
But I didn't. I said, I think God wants me here. And I went. We had a prayer meeting every night there at the chapel, which I was really involved in. Then we'd go over to the chapel annex where we played ping pong and other games. But I was, let's see. Well, I say was all involved there anyway, that which we were, it was very fulfilling to be able to talk to these guys and give them encouragement as they were going on to Korea from there.
So you had people pass through as you were the clerk?
We had people from several different nations that went through that school, especially Canada, Australia, and other nations around. But I can remember them. Had some of them in my Sunday school class, too.
Then. Oh, goodness. So, what was that like?
It was very interesting. With the rules there, they didn't want you to teach anything from a denominational standard or anything like that. We couldn't use, like I have now, an teacher's quarterly. We had to use the Bible only. I could use the quarterly to study and bring up points, but I had to use that. I remember a wonderful sunrise service that we had there, and up on a mountaintop just back of the this was an island that was surrounded, or Etajima Island was a little island. It was only about a 40-minute bus or ferry boat ride from Hiroshima.
Oh.
So I got to visit Hiroshima several times and visited some missionaries while I was overseas. And we went over to, I'll tell this, you can put it in or not, but I was going to Curry, which was also about a 40-minute ferry boat ride one day. We were going over there for a Youth for Christ meeting, and I and quite a few of the servicemen went over there, but some of them were not going over there for that reason. And anyway, as we were coming back, I remember that one of the soldiers that was on board, not with our group, started telling dirty stories, and I and some of the other guys started singing a song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It came upon me then I really knew the power of God. And so it was amazing, but pretty soon he left. But other people, that even though we're not with our group, started singing that same song. And that song has had a real meaning for me ever since then.
Mm-hmm. I can see why. Yeah, I can see why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So what was it like to prepare people for what they were going to go to in Korea?
Well, you just had to remind them that God was with them wherever they were. They would, he would still be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't guarantee that they were going to be able to come back safely, but he would still be with them and watch over them.
Mm-hmm. So what did the school do, the school where you were?
Okay, they had a lot of different things. They had the field artillery mechanics. They had a typing class. They had other mechanical classes. They had school for cooking. They had a great number of schools. They were just all there, come in there and then go on to Korea to fit into the particular job that they had. I can't think of all the different ones, but there was a number of.
And was it pretty random? I mean, you mentioned that you got assigned to mechanical, but you weren't mechanical. Did they just
Somewhere with my they take your aptitude test, and then they assign you by that to the different school, the ones that come to school there.
Wow. And, you may be more mechanical than you know then. So the CBR, is that the school you said you were specifically?
The chief clerk of CBR school, Chemical, Biological, and Radiological School. I was the chief clerk of that school.
And but what was CBR? I mean,
Chemical
school. I mean,
chemical warfare, radiological warfare, biological warfare, and how to protect yourself in a case of that.
Oh, I see. So the soldiers that would be going to Korea would go through that
only certain ones that would go through that were going to be a specialty group in dealing with those cases there.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. And about how many people were in that? Like, just I have no idea the size.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it here I can show you, but they had... It was, like I say, the former Japanese Naval Academy, and I know we had probably 3,000 students there.
Wow. And
different ones coming in each week. Some of the classes were for 4 weeks, some for seven, some for eight, and depending on how technical they needed to be.
Shifted through. Let me ask you this, because this was not that long after World War II. What was Hiroshima like when you visited that?
What was the what?
It was after, so close after World War II. And didn't you say you went to Hiroshima?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, the war was over, what year, I'm not sure.
About 10 years, but 10 45. Years, but
at first I was kind of worried about that. But they were mostly westernized by then. Hmm. And they had... A lot of the cities looked pretty much like it. Some of the cities, the smaller ones, that had these outdoor markets all the way around. Mm-hmm. And I remember one visit, I had to take leave while I was over there. We lost it, and so I took a bus ride clear up in the mountains there. And I went around, and it was surprising, the high school kids that were come up and speak to me, trying to try their English. And I learned one thing: a smile is a universal language. And I would have little kids come up to me, and they'd smile, and I'd smile back. And that I've always remembered that. But smile in any language is the same.
Yeah, yeah. Was it the city pretty much rebuilt by the time you visited?
Most of it, yes. They still had a place there in Hiroshima where it was showed one of the spots there, and they had one guy there that had gone through that had scars all over his body.
Uh-huh.
And it was terrible to see that. But most of it had been rebuilt.
Uh-huh. That was pretty fast to rebuild
city.
While you were over there, how did you keep in touch with your family back home?
Well, at that time we didn't have the telephone or anything, or like they do now, so we just about letter was on.
Uh-huh. Did you get care packages from home?
Yes, I did.
Yes, like what?
Cookies, mainly candy.
Uh-huh.
It had to be something that wouldn't spoil right away.
So was your mom a good cook?
Yes, mother of nine children, she knew how to cook.
So there were nine in your family. Where were you in the?
I was the oldest boy. Had one sister above me.
Oh, okay. So how many boys and how many girls?
Four boys and five girls.
Wow. I'm only asking because I know them.
But yeah, I know.
But people
I did ask a friend of mine, Irv Kopisch from Ingalls, who's a good friend of mine. I asked him one time to send me some, I was thinking about some candy that I really liked, and that was the caramels.
Oh.
And I asked him to send me some, and he did. And I tried to keep him hid from the rest of the guys, but it was kind of hard.
Did you send home anything from that time?
Yes, a lot of things. I sent each of my sisters a set of dishes, Noritake mainly, and I've got sent a set for me that I knew sometime I'd get married. And I sent little knick-knack shelves that had little figurines and stuff that they made. It was, and then the thing that I have five of them right now that I had sent back that I kept was cloisonné. It's a really a long time process making. Was very valuable then, and it's even more valuable now. I have five vases, and I'm planning at this time probably to give one to each of my kids. They're not all the same size, and that's going to be the problem. I haven't told them yet, but this Thanksgiving, after my illness this year, near death, I felt that I needed to take care of some of these things this Thanksgiving time.
Yeah. Oh, what a good idea. What a good idea. Who was it that told you never to volunteer in the Army?
People that had been in the Army before.
Yeah, I was guessing that.
And these were people from Cimarron, too.
Yes.
I can't remember. I think I know one, probably. But anyway, I won't mention any names.
While you were over there, did anything unusual or extraordinary or things you remember in particular happen?
Well, I can't remember. Was that where one of the generals was taken off? The one that was general was over there was relieved of duties, but I can't remember his. I don't remember which name. I don't want to say the wrong one.
Right. But, right.
It was. I had some thing. I had some. Sometimes there's a lot of prejudice in the Army about race. And I was in after that when they'd put all races together. And I had friends, dear friends, that were of other races. And I can remember one that as I was going overseas, and I became seasick. And I didn't feel like getting up at all. And one of the, he was a colored man. But he went and got me something at the PX to eat, some fruit. It was about the only thing, peaches, I think it was, or something like that. But I had friends, many friends of all different races there. The Japanese, there was two that had been born in the United States that run the Photoshop there at the PX. And I became real good friends with them because they developed my pictures when I was taking the pictures, class pictures and that. And there was two of them there, but one I remember especially that was became real good friends. In fact, he wrote me down some things in English in case when I was growing up in that one far away place, I might not have the cafe where they had it in both. And he wrote me some things that I wanted in Japanese, so I could just hand that to him. So that's
How great!
So, like I say, good friends. I've got good memories of them. The Army and the friendships that were forged in that, back from Fort Carson and dear friends that I still correspond with from the Iterjima.
Really?
That's Christian friends of mine that were there on the chaplain's assistant was one from down in Missouri. I haven't heard from him for quite a while, but there's a guy in Indiana that each year we correspond together.
Do you attend reunions and things like that ever?
Army reunions?
Yeah.
I tried to that one time, and this was the 50th reunion, and the only time they'd had one up till then, and I don't think they've had one since then of our group that were there, but it was the 50th, I believe, in 1999. I was on my way to North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, to attend this reunion, and I got as far as Memphis, Tennessee, and I had a heart attack. My wife did not drive, so I pulled in at a motel and stayed there, and then the next morning they called, and somebody came down and looked at me and says, you're okay, you ought to check in the hospital maybe before you went. This was instead of them taking me there, which I went on a little bit and started to find my way to the hospital, and then I just lost there, and I got lost, and so I stopped in the hospital, and the guy told me I was having a heart attack right then. Yeah. And he said, I don't know who read that sheet on that, but he said you should have been taken to the hospital right then. But had a good place there. The the heart doctor there, Dr. Cook, was people flew in from all around the area to go to this Baptist East Memorial Hospital in
Memphis,
in Tennessee there.
Wow. Sounds like there was a hand in that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, God has had a hand in my life. And
yes.
I want to give him the credit for it.
So how would you summarize your service experience?
It's something that I'm glad I went through it. I would not want to do it again. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in my life, that the experience that I had.
Mm-hmm. What was it like when you came back?
Well, I knew I didn't want to go back into the grocery business, so I went to work at the insurance company there. And everything was, you know, it was good. I mean, it was about like I expected. I think we were, some of the people of that area were not noticed or as being veterans, but I didn't have that problem at all. People respected me as a veteran. And, But I worked at the insurance company and then started the business in 1957, where I am located now.
Mm-hmm. Was that just an opportunity, or you just thought, okay, well, I want to go into business now?
No. Again, going back to the Oklahoma, my father-in-law-to-be lived in Oklahoma, and he'd been born and raised there. He's part Indian. And he brought... We decided to bring him up here. He run used furniture down there, so we brought him up to Cimarone and opened a secondhand store for him to run, and I got interested in that and helped him. And then that came the then we decided to open in Dodge City instead there because of the limited clientele there. And so we opened here, and then I eventually... decided I wanted to go into business most of all.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this off the record, but turned off.
Okay, let's get that on there. Yeah. So when you came back, what job did you have right away?
I started at the Cimarone Insurance Company at $1 per hour.
I was selected
in the IBM section, which made all the reports. The IBM computer now that you can hold in your hand, it was about 6 foot long and about 3 foot wide and about 4 foot tall. And you had to wire these computers that had a board on the side of the computer, and you took little wires and little holes all the way through it. And you put a wire in here and a wire in here, and it told what the machine was to do. And I was the only one at the time that could do that. Well, my sister Helen could do that too, but I was the one to do that. So it was quite different. But
did it have all those cards?
Yeah, the cards, punch cards.
Punch cards, yeah.
Punch card, and then they had a collator that collated the cards. And then I would make collate them in and set them in alphabetical order. And then you'd print out the thing on the big machine that had there.
Print out the report from there. You don't even know what we're talking about, do you,
I've got
George?
A picture of it up there in my office. So.
Yeah. We're going to have to go see your pictures, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a picture of Eddie Jima. I've got a picture of me receiving the, and some of when I got medals and different things, or sports medals. And I can't remember. And a picture of me behind my desk there.
Oh, neat. When you were in the military, did you have to learn weapons and things like that?
Oh, yes. That was part of... Is this on now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when I went to Fort Riley, they instructed us in rifles, machine guns, different things like that. And then when... the pistols, too. And then when I went overseas and went through the field artillery mechanic school, we were involved in firing them and testing them, and then cleaning them and repairing them, showing how. So we had to have knowledge of a lot of different weapons.
Goodness. But you're not a hunter or anything like that now since?
No, I used to be a hunter. When I came back from, I loved to hunt and I would go pheasant hunting when I was on the farm, rifle hunting. I'd go out in the snow, especially to catch the cottontails or young jackrabbits, cottontails mainly to eat. And then I like to go duck hunting. And when I was after I got back in from Japan, I used to go out every morning at least down by Montezuma, and I'd go down there. At that time, you could start hunting half hour before sunlight. Mm-hmm. So I'd hunt, and then get when the rush was through there, I'd come back and go to work at I think 9 o'clock then or something.
Wow. Have you ever been back to Japan?
No.
Have you ever thought about it?
No.
Yeah.
I could go through the flight for that, I don't think, anymore. Yeah. And, of course, it'd be better than the ship,
which
we went back on, but I just don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
And it would be nice, in a way, to see what Edo Jima Specialist School is like now, if they're still training people through there, or if it's been given back to the Japanese. I have no idea.
Hmm. Yeah. So, anything you want to tell, anything I didn't ask you about? I know there have to be some good stories you haven't told.
About the Army?
Well, probably. Mm-hmm. Or somehow related to the Army.
Well, I could tell the story of how I met my wife. I think I told part of it in there.
Okay.
But I found out after I got back here, just after my wife died, and it came to me realizing that God was at work in my hands, not my hands, but work in my life there to bring us together, because here I was, this was several years before I actually met my wife, but yet how God took control there, sending me over there as a entrant to me in, and then choosing me to be selected as a field artillery mechanic, and with me with no mechanical abilities, and then the fact that I guess I told about the fact that how I was sent there and held out as company clerk, and then went to church at Pueblo and met my wife through her sister inviting her there, but I can't.
Did your wife, tell me about when you met your wife. Was that like you said you fell in love right away? Because I'm thinking, did she recognize that right away?
Yes, she said she did. We both, it's kind of funny because we were just talking, and finally one day she says, "I can't marry you." I says, "Why?" We talked about her marriage. And she said, "You haven't asked me yet."
Oh. Well, that's a good way to go about it.
So,
that's
but,
neat.
Yeah, we had a very happy marriage.
Yes.
I told my Sunday school class a couple of years ago about the fact of how I prayed. Oh, that first phone call we got.
Oh, yeah.
I told my Sunday school class a couple of years ago about how I always thank God every day for bringing my wife and me together, and I thanked him for her every day. And as we were going home, she said, "You mean you've been praying for me, thanking God for me and praying for me every day?" And I said, "Yes." She says, "I've been praying for you every day and thanking God for you every day."
Wow. Oh, wow. That's cool. Powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have kids here, right?
I have two of my children working with me now. One, my daughter, takes care of the books and takes care of all accessories. My son, youngest son, David, is the manager of the store and does all the buying and rearranging, selling, and supervising. I still write the checks and do scheduling of deliveries. And my oldest son is with a furniture company, Lane and Broyhill and Thomasville Furniture. living in Topeka now, and he travels over half the United States. He's vice president of sales over that that big company. And my other two sons are preachers. My next to the youngest son is a preacher in Fort Smith, Arkansas. That's all he's ever done since. All of my kids worked for me during the stores they were growing up. But then my next son is a preacher in Sanford, Florida.
Wow.
Mark Weiss. Randy Weiss is the one. David Weiss is my youngest, and Casey Cat is my daughter, and then Randy Weiss, and then Mark Weiss, and then Michael Weiss.
Wow. And how many of your siblings were or are preachers?
All of my siblings that were married were preachers or married to preachers.
Yeah.
I had two sisters that didn't marry.
Yeah.
And worked and lived in Cimarron practically all their life.
Yeah.
Yep. I bet you get some interesting stories, don't you?
We do. We do. I so appreciate your sharing your story with us. Thank you.
That's one thing when I was near death and thought I was dying, I was given up for dead at one time. I knew that God had a hand in it because I miraculously was saved from five things, from liver enzyme going wild first thing, that they thought I was dead then, and then in the next couple of days I had a heart attack, had gallbladder attack, I had kidney stones, and did I say pneumonia? Anyway, there's five things that I had, and it's an humbling experience, but God saved me, and I thought he's got some purpose for me, and I search for it daily to know what he wants me to do. And I know one thing is that I need to be more vocal in witnessing, but then that's something we as Christians are supposed to do anyway. So it's something besides that, because I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do on that. Not maybe I was hesitant in some instances to speak up for Christ, but no more.
And this was just recently, wasn't it?
February the 19th, when my wife went back in. Well, when she died, I went in the hospital from her cancer coming back, and she wanted to die. And I went in the hospital at 11 o'clock that morning, and then she died at 4. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, they called my kids to say, if you want to live, you better come up and see him. But that's when God stepped in. And as the doctor has told me, he says, Don, I didn't think you'd make it. But he says you had to have some more power from on high.
Mm-hmm.
You're off now, aren't you?
Yeah.